Our reading from God's holy word, first reading in the Hebrew scriptures, is in the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And this is the third Isaiah, it's often referred to as. It's at the very end of Isaiah. And this is the prophecy that Isaiah is giving to the people of Judah who are already captives. They're already in exile in Babylon. It is found on page 1161 in the Pew Bibles. I just realized I forgot to put those in there. I apologize. But here, the prophecy that Isaiah is giving to the people. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind blows, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. And our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. It is in the first chapter, beginning at verse 3, and that is on page 1771. We're skipping the first two verses, which is really kind of like the letterhead, the address, who the letter's from and who the letter's going to, and now we are at the salutation from Paul. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And today is the first Sunday of our liturgical year. Happy New Year. We begin with reading from the Gospel according to Mark, which is the primary gospel that we will be reading this year, except this is pretty much what we're going to read out of Mark until after Christmas. Those of us who were part of our Bible study in the fall note that Mark is the gospel that does not have a birth narrative. And so we are at the 13th chapter. We're almost at the end. The gospel is 16 chapters long. And this is when Jesus has had his entry into Jerusalem, and he is teaching in the temple, and he is being tested, and he is doing healing and all kinds of amazing things. We're in the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 24, and that is on page 1578. People have been wondering what eternal life looks like and if there's going to be a coming of the Messiah. And so Jesus responds. He says this: "But in those days, following that distress, quote, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken," end quote. "At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I loved doing the Bible study this fall. I love doing Bible study. But a reminder for those of us who weren't all able to be there every time, the Gospel according to Mark is the oldest gospel that we have in its entirety. It is just barely a little bit older than some of Paul's letters. And some of Paul's letters predate it. It's kind of in that little in-between time there. We're pretty certain there was another, what we would call gospel or book, that gave information, but we don't have the remains of it. But we see that it was used for both Matthew and Luke as they wrote their gospels. So Mark probably had somebody else that was also writing about the same time that he was. We know that the Gospel of Mark is written in common Greek of that time. We know that it's very sparse in language. Matthew, in his gospel, he points to all the Hebrew scriptures and how those prophecies came true. That's why it's the first gospel in the canon, because it points to the Hebrew scriptures. So it's a wonderful bridge into the New Testament. Yeah. And the Gospel of Luke was written by a Gentile, someone who wasn't raised Jewish, who wasn't Jewish by descent. And so he was like explaining Judaism to the Gentiles a lot as he was trying to learn it for himself. So it's a lot of apologetic and explanation, and its focus is more towards the Gentiles as a result. The Gospel according to John came along after the first century, after the resurrection, and it's wonderful. It's esoteric, and I think Kierkegaard probably studied it a great deal. It's heady and poetic, and it was clearly written by someone who had not known anyone who knew the living Jesus. Just the stories that had been passed down. But Mark, the people who knew Jesus were dying, and he wanted to get it in writing before there was no one to give a first-hand experience. He wanted to be the recorder. He didn't waste words. He didn't waste paper. He didn't waste ink. There's not a lot of superlatives. There's not a lot of adjectives. There's just the truth. One short sentence with a few words gives us tons of action. Amazing stuff. Mark is written long before John's revelations that came around in the second century. Mark was dealing with the nuts and bolts of an early Christology. And today's reading was about the eschaton, the end times, what they will look like when Christ comes again, the second coming, we often refer to it. I don't know what your eschatology bent is individually. I seem to like to have little bugs. I'm sorry. Go away. They love the pulpit. I don't know what your eschatology bent is. Maybe you are anxiously awaiting the rapture. You're millennialists. You can't wait for the second coming. To heck with this life. It's all about what's coming next. You study Revelations and every other writing. You're ready for Armageddon. You know whose side you're on? You know how that's going to pan out? You spend a lot of time thinking and worrying about it? If you do, please let me know. I'd like to spend some time with you because I haven't done that too much. That's not where I go. Maybe it's there and you don't think about it a whole lot. That's sort of me. You know, I know it's going to happen. I don't put a lot of energy into it. Maybe it's something you're terrified of. Maybe it's something you're excited about. Maybe it's something that's really key to how you understand Jesus, that it's through his second coming that you know that the kingdom of God will be complete. Mark is telling us Jesus' answer to all those questions, thoughts, and categories. No one knows. He says it right there. He says, no one knows, not the angels, not even the Son, only the Father knows how, when, where, what, why. Nobody knows. So be ready. Be ready. Stay awake. Watch out. Look for signs. But live your life with the hope that it's going to come, and live your life ready for it. In other words, keep your faith strong. Keep your relationship with God as the most important thing. Know that even in times when your faith seems weak and lost, you can turn for help so that you are ready, that you don't fall asleep somewhere. That's our hope as Christians, the hope that Christ will come again, that we have eternal life, whether through our dying to our earthly life or through a second coming. It's our hope. But there's lots of different hope, isn't there? Yeah. Like on Thanksgiving, I was hoping I didn't start the turkey too early because I didn't want it dried out before I had everything else ready. So I hoped I had planned it right. But that wasn't too important because I knew they were going to eat whatever I put in front of them anyway, right? Yeah. There's that kind of hope. Just sort of our everyday little, you know, plannings. New Year's, I like to write my goals for the year. It's a hope. It's a hope that they're still my goals by the next day when I get up. They may not be. Life may change. Or the year might not look back. Every once in a while, I look back at those goals and I think, wow, did I totally misjudge what was coming in that new year? That's, of course, why they don't pay me to read palms and know what the future holds. But then there's other hopes, too. There's hopes that we cling to for the sake of hope. There's hopes that we cling to even when we have no possible changes in the outcome. We had the joy and blessing of raising our children in a little village way up in the mountains of Vermont. And one of our neighbors had many girls. Several. Some were not even living at home when we were their neighbors. They had grown up and moved out and had families of their own. But their youngest daughter, I don't know, he didn't want a daughter. He was tired of girls. He wanted a son. He wanted a son so bad that he picked the boy's name. The name was going to be Charles. Well, when Charles was born, Charles was a girl. But Charles' birth certificate still says Charles. I guess maybe hope if you change the name, the gender changes too when they grow up. I don't know. I didn't get it. The school teachers gave her the nickname of Charlie. You know, that perfume was out then, Charlie with a little Y. And so it was kind of fun and it was cute and it made it nice. Charlie spent time at our house because she was the next door neighbor girl and our girls liked playing with her and she was in school with them. Charlie hoped a different way than her dad. See, he didn't allow her to have dolls or girly things. He didn't allow her to have dresses. I don't know what he hoped would happen. But with everything Charlie had, she just wanted to be who she was. She just wanted to be accepted for who she was and allow what she wanted to be valued. It started with little things like she loved to come over to our house to play. I don't know if she really liked our girls or not, but she loved their baby dolls because she was never allowed to have a baby doll. She loved playing with the baby dolls. They'd be downstairs eating snack. I offered her snack, but only if the baby doll could come downstairs from the playroom and have snack too, because she was not going to give up that baby doll. One Christmas, my daughters were taking turns shopping with me individually to pick out presents for their sister, and they each had decided that they didn't want to get their sister a present. They wanted to get Charlie a baby doll. So we got Charlie a baby doll and clothes and, you know, all the little things that baby dolls need. And every year, see, Santa had been asked by Charlie for a baby doll, and every year Santa had not brought a baby doll. But that year, Santa left a baby doll on the doorstep so that Charlie had her own baby doll, which she brought over to play with at our house. Charlie wanted to wear dresses really bad. We have two beautiful daughters. One loved to wear dresses, one did not. That's a choice. So the dresses that weren't going to be used as hand-me-downs, Charlie got to use as hand-me-downs. Charlie wanted to wear pink a lot. I have one daughter that wore pink a lot. I have another daughter that will never be seen dead anywhere near pink. It's okay, each to their own. Charlie was thrilled whenever there were hand-me-downs or pink mittens or pink snow coats that came her way. Charlie had hope. Hope that she could be who she was without being put in a box or forced to meet someone else's expectations. Charlie has children of her own, and I know that she's a nurturing, wonderful woman. Mostly, she allows them to be who they are. A hope that changed the way she saw the world. A hope that changed the way she behaves. And then there's another hope as well, a hope that it goes even deeper than that, the hope that Jesus tells us to have, a hope that no matter what we do, no matter what happens in this world, God is always with us, God always loves us, and God will make sure that God's realm happens and that we will be part of it because we believe. Hope. Hope that can change a world. Hope that can share with others the fact that Christ will come again. That God will have the final say. That the universe will play out. And that God's justice, peace, love, hope, and joy will be present. And that we will all have a part of it. May we have that hope this Christmas season. Amen.